Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
It's spinning! It's spinning! Jonathan Sexton has made it!
Do you feel moderately happy?
No, I feel like I've been kissing my sister, I suppose.
In the pocket for his drop goal attempt. Here he goes, O'Gara! He's done it! That surely is the grand slam!
We target players all the time. That's part of rugby, isn't it? Let me know.
Sexton! Wonderful pass and Stockdale finishes!
There'll be more than grenades. There'll be full tanks and full shells landing on the Aviva.
Grand Slam winners on St. Patrick's Day at Twickenham.
There will be no Le Drop this weekend because Johnny Sexton has been ruled out with concussion. The Ireland team has been named. Several enforced changes. Ian Henderson starts instead of James Ryan, who's out with concussion. Billy Byrne starts instead of Johnny Sexton, out with concussion. Jameson Gibson-Park starts because Conor Murray is out with a hamstring injury. And Reece Ruddock obviously gets his first Six Nations start at six. Peter O'Mahony is suspended. Ronan O'Gara, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Jar. How are you?
Good. I was looking at the odds. The line has moved 2 full points since Sexton and Murray were ruled out. That's the impact that the bookmakers think. And now France are 5-point favourites for this game, which all of a sudden, when you see the French team, looks about right.
Yes and no. They're the farm team. I think they're confident. They love going to camp. They have a lot going for them. But I think there's an underbelly there that potentially a lot of people may not know about because Jalibert hasn't really been tested. He did well in Twickenham. That was his probably big test away from home. But conditions will be far more difficult Sunday in the Aviva, where you're going to have, I believe, 60 to 70 miles an hour wind and rain. So he's very, very young in his game management, I suppose, test experience. So that's, I'm sure, certain that Ireland will have double, if not triple, kind of pressure on him. Because if Ireland can rattle Jalibert, anything is possible. And I think that's a good way to go after them.
So that's pressure is a polite way of saying we're going to target them. This is international rugby. It's in the clip there at the start where Eddie Jones is saying targeting is a real thing. Why does everybody get so sniffy about this? We're going to target their 9 and we're going to target their 10.
Yeah, I don't know how wise it would be to target their 9. I think you just have to try and stay as connected as possible in your defensive line when Dupont is around the ball. If you kind of go after him, he'll create something for someone else. I think Jalibert is a channel wider, and the more the ball is out of Dupont's hands, the better chance Ireland have of succeeding on the day. You know, for me, Dupont is up there already. He's the best player in the world for me. But when you talk about Messi, you talk about Ronaldo, I think in 5 years' time, they'll be talking in the same glorified way of Antoine Dupont. He's a serious, serious player, Ger.
So what do you do?
To stop him?
Yeah.
Or to stop the French attack?
Well, so you've obviously been game planning for Dupont. We James Collin on during the week as well, and he was talking about it. And it's like, look, you just try and be smart and be as disciplined as you can. But there will be a bit of targeting going on. He reckoned specifically of Dupont, so maybe it's different for you guys. But when you're coming up against him, and if it's him and Entomac, if they're both fit, what do you do in your game plan to go, when the 9 gets it, this is how we have to behave?
Well, it isn't as simple as that, I think, because where Dupont excels as opposed to any other 9 in the world for me is his capacity in broken field play. So his support lines are on a par with Aaron Smith, and that's basically Aaron Smith's game, his fast pass and staying upfield and getting a second touch and scoring. What Dupont does better than anyone else is that he gets on the ball in chaos or in unstructured play, and he has a go. And there's absolutely no gaps and little tread, it seems. And bang, he goes off his left foot. He goes off his right foot. He is incredibly strong. He's a little pocket rocket. And all of a sudden, he's 20 metres up the pitch. And you saw that example against Italy where he blindly left the ball. He's going this way and he blindly leaves the ball that way without looking. So that's his norm. I think what is absolutely crucial for Ireland is you don't focus on DuPont, you focus on getting your spacing on the around the ruck right. So i.e. you have a tackle or a ruck. When it becomes a ruck, your kind of guard defender either side of the ruck, his spacing with the second defender is going to be absolutely crucial for over, 150 defensive rucks for Ireland at the weekend. And that isn't easy, Ger. But if your spacing from your first and second defender is more than, I would think, 4 metres against him, it's too hard to ask an Andrew Porter or a Keane Healy or a tiring forward to cover more than 4 metres against DuPont. They can be comfortable, I think, from 3 to 4 metres. Anything more than that, it's advantage France, advantage DuPont.
So it's about being incredibly disciplined defensively in every scenario, whenever the ball is...
That's them with the ball, but the trick is you don't give them the ball. And I think Ireland would have learnt a lot from watching Italy. What undid Italy, not alone as only Italy can do to undo themselves, there was, I think, enough evidence in that game that France have weaknesses, and I think you can get them in the wider channels. The only thing now, you won't have a side on tackle until Teddy Thomas comes on. So Penaud and Villiers will be more hitting straight on, body in front. Teddy Thomas likes to give teams the outside, which automatically means you get a gain line and you can get into your phase game easy. And Ireland are good when they get their phase game going, as we saw with 14 men last week.
Okay, that's the French actually responding to the challenge of the Irish in their selection. Teddy Thomas has been dropped to the subs bench this week.
Well, exactly. And we've seen examples of that under this management where I think they have probably their settled group, very settled group, but they are picking their teams based on what the opposition can offer. And I think so they would have looked at gale force winds and rain in Dublin, going to be aerial bombardment by a kicking game, especially from the nine, from the, I suppose, the exit zone between the 22 and the halfway line. Do we want Teddy Thomas under that ball for the first 50 minutes of the game? I don't think we do. Teddy isn't weak at all, but Penaud has a fantastic leap on him. And interestingly, when Ireland tire a little bit, it might give Teddy Thomas a bigger opportunity to shine. They picked Fico out of position against Johnny May on a man-marking job in Twickenham, if you recall, probably 12 months ago, which was, I think, caught a lot of people off. So the French have history in doing this, and it seems smart what they're doing.
It's interesting that they would have picked that team on the assumption, probably, that we would have had a very stereotypical Irish 9 and 10 playing, and now it's the complete opposite. Do we have a 9 and 10 who are going to kick the ball? I'm not sure with Gibson Park and Billy Burns.
Yeah, you're right. Gibson Park is a super rugby player, i.e. he has been formed in the Southern Hemisphere and not maybe a super rugby player yet. I hope he will become a super rugby player for Ireland, but he's been formed in the super rugby in Southern Hemisphere. Super rugby is such a different game to Test rugby, such a different game to Northern Hemisphere rugby. There's so much more space in super rugby. It's all out attack. You score, we score. Have a go from anywhere, boys. No pressure. We're here to entertain. The kicking, for me, and what I've seen, but I haven't seen, I suppose, I've only seen 2 or 3 years, Ger, since he's been in Leinster, probably closely enough. But he seems they don't box kick really that much in New Zealand. So he doesn't have those, I suppose, credits in the bank, banked over the early part of his career. It seems to me that running is his first option, which is very natural when you think about the game they play over there. Kicking and exiting is something that he can do, but it isn't a forte. But I think we saw a tactical shift from Ireland last week with exiting because of the left foot of James Lowe. He kicked the ball superbly 3 or 4 times over 60 yards, which is a big aid to the front five.
So how will our game change from having a different style of nine? What's the difference that you expect us to have with Gibson Park at nine versus what we would have had if Murray had been fit?
I think there will probably be, I would say, more emphasis on 10 taking the responsibility. And even though we have probably a more experienced 10 than Gibson Park in terms of being in the setup, I think Gibson Park is in it a little bit longer than Billy Burns. I may be corrected on that. I'm not too sure. Maybe you know that, Ger. But they're two probably international rookies, and that combined, I think what you gain is an element of, we won't have fear when we're going to play. But also, there's a little bit of the unknown in terms of it's going to keep us all on the edge of our seat, because every time the ball is around the 9 and 10, I don't know exactly what to expect from these guys. Is that because I don't know them that well, or is that because I don't know their game inside out? But I think Billy Burns plays very instinctively, and Gibson Park likes tempo. So it's not really, you've got to play your conditions too in Test Rugby, and in a wet and windy and driving rain on Sunday, field position, game management, and patrolling your forwards and putting them in the right areas become important to eliminate the kind of 3-point kick zone, because if it's hard to score with ball in hand, the kicking game becomes even more relevant.
Yeah, well, look, let's talk about the 10. I want to play you this. It's Freddie Burns. It's Billy's brother, who obviously famously had his own incident where a ball didn't get touched down. And so he's had to recover himself from something that would have been a very high-profile error. We had him on the show on OTBAM this morning with Adrian and Owen. Here's Freddie Burns. Have a listen.
Now, one thing I will say is, you know, I salute the Bulls on the kid for his first Six Nations appearance to go for the five, because, you know, if he puts that ball 10, 15, 20 metres out, he's probably getting criticised for not going for the five. So, you know, big set on him to go for it, and it just didn't work. So that's that. It's one error. He's been in great form for Ulster and so far for Ireland. So just crack on, and it's a big challenge against France this weekend. One thing I'll say about Bill is, you know, it's he's mentally very strong. And, you know, like I said, he put his balls on the line at the weekend to go for the 5-metre line, and sometimes in that position it don't go for you. And it's one of those things, it's a test of character. Obviously, he's taken a lot of stick for it, which you're going to. That's why you play professional sport. Some of it is all right. Some of it's obviously over the line, but that is what it is, and he'll just want to bounce back. So he's a good lad. He'll bounce back either way, and yeah, it'll be a... It'll be a great occasion for him this weekend if he can get on the pitch and sort of silence a few critics. So, yeah, you definitely learn from being in it. But that's it. It's happened now. What can you do? You either sit there and sulk and let the armchair critics who are there probably still with half their fish and chips down their face sort of criticise you and get to you, or you crack on and realise that you're the one playing in the Ireland shirt and doing a job for your country. No, I've just reached out to him, made sure he's right, and he's fine. And I know that he's just focused on this weekend and getting out there and continuing, you know, the form that he's been in for Ulster and for Ireland in the All Nations Cup. So, yeah, he'll be chomping at the bit just to get out there and do his thing. You know, the thing with being a 10 and a goal kicker and all that, it's a close skill. You know, when a hooker misses a line-out last play of the game, you know, you can blame the line-out caller, you can blame whoever. There's people. But when you're, you know, kicking at posts or going for the corner, yeah, you're always going to be the guy to take the flak, even.
Yeah, it's Freddie Burns there talking about his brother. Ronan, I wonder sometimes, does it help to have small balls in professional sport and actually be a bit conservative?
That's the benefit of hindsight, Ger. I think probably the key learning for Billy would be that, you know, I don't think the five is the magic target. You know, I think he's got to work out, I suppose, with his visualisation, what he's looking to achieve. He knows that the closest you can get a line out there is 5 meters to the line. So all of a sudden, the corner flag is on the 5 meter line out. You cannot get a line out in rugby union for 2 meters from the opposition line. Okay, so if your target is the 5 meter line, which is 5 meters from the opposition goal line, you know that you have 4.99 meters of out of bounds behind that. Okay, but Billy's kick, I think, if I recall correctly, it missed the dead ball line, which is another 10 on top of that. So it was a complete miss hit. But I know exactly why that happened, I would think, Ger, because I would say he mightn't even have seen the ball, in the fact that I've been there. Your heart has gone 180. You're absolutely, you know me, there's no doubt I'd say nerves played a huge part in it. And you basically, you're going probably on, you're not even watching the ball onto your foot. You're just kicking this, and then, oh, you look up and, oh my God, did that happen? So it's a big one. I think, as his brother said, I don't think it comes down to balls for going for it. I think that's a process you learn and you get better with experience and understanding the importance of in sudden death, especially when the clock is like that. You mean you can't kick it out? It's not like any other period of the game where a spray equals a scrum or a 22. This is the end game. So, but he's grossly inexperienced, and I think what will frustrate the Irish supporters and himself more so than anybody would be if he was to repeat that in a probably similar context in the game this season. It's okay if it happens in the 20, in the first 20 minutes of a game, and he's greedy and he's going for it. But I think what good players do is that they don't make the same mistake twice of something of huge importance.
Yeah, and Andy Farrell, as a coach, having invested this amount of time and energy to get him to this point, he had no choice. He had a choice, but it would undo all that work if you didn't put him in the matchday squad this weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't underestimate either, too, I think, what Andy Farrell did. I think it could have been, I would say it was a long and hard decision, because for me, Ross Byrne is a great starter. I think he's a great game controller. I think that's is underappreciated what he brings to it. I think he manages his team very well. And Billy Burns has, I suppose, a little bit of X factor and a little bit of a high tempo feel to his game. But I haven't seen enough of him, Ger, because I think he's only playing in Ulster a year or two, would it be, or is it longer?
No, that's about right, yeah.
And probably he's in single digits for caps for Ireland. So, you know, we're still getting to get a feel of him. But I thought it was, I think it's he will absolutely need to be mentally strong, because he has a tough week, because if you move on too quickly from what you have done in terms of try to brush it under the carpet, that will come back to haunt you again. There is big, big learnings for him in this, but I'm sure he'll look at that and he'll know that I'm very fortunate to be getting this chance to hit the ground running straight away after, because sometimes, as I know from my wonky cross kick in Murrayfield, it finished my international career.
Luckily enough, you had a couple more games with Munster, though. That's what we all remember.
Two max.
There was some good kicks in those games that we remember more than that wonky crossfield kick.
Oh, I don't know. It was a shocker. Wow.
Well, you were at the end of your career. How did you, like, was that a nightmare night?
No, it just kind of reinforced, I suppose, the importance of watching the ball onto your foot. Because you've done this skill for so many times, how many balls have I kicked? You know what I mean? Literally millions. And then you go to do it. And because it was greasy, I said, okay, I'm going to actually, instead of throwing this pass 30 yards, it's just easier for me to just, as I call it, push past it. I don't even kick it. I just push it with my foot. And then I just absolutely screwed it off the inside of my foot and caused consternation in the team. But I actually can laugh at this stage. My healing process is over, thankfully.
Are you sure you brought it up unprompted?
Yeah, but sure, it's good to talk. Problem shared is a problem halved.
Fair enough. Okay. You were very critical of James Lowe in the Examiner today. You were kind of suggesting that both himself and Keith Earls would have been a little bit concerned about the team selection. They both made it. Again, the coach is backing them to fix the errors that you said Lowe's were far more serious actually than Earls's last week.
Yeah, but Earls, he had a few knock on maybe and spilled the ball. But I just think, I hope I wasn't very critical of him. That's not my intention. I was trying to point out, I suppose, I think if that was an experienced test winger who has played a lot of his rugby in the Northern Hemisphere, we wouldn't be looking at, on either occasion, a try for Wales. It's gone through in depth in the Examiner, but just to give a brief resume, I think it's Wales have five attackers and Ireland have six defenders for the Zamit Rees try. Ringrose comfortably has George North, who's in a static position, isn't in any way dynamic on the ball. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, and he obviously would be in a far better position than I would be to kind of understand why he made the decision to hit in on a guy who was comfortably covered by his teammate, which means that Halfpenny is free. Hugo Keenan has to adapt to James Lowe's bizarre decision and come in to try and hit the second last, but he hasn't had the time. And
yeah,
Zamit Rees comes in for a try, and Furlong, in fairness to him, busts a gut to try and get to the corner, but he's just, you can't get a tight head prop to do that.
Yeah, no, in fairness, and look, again, they've both been backed by their head coach, so fingers crossed they can both put in a better performance. Ronan, before you go, give us your prediction. What do you actually think is going to happen? Who's going to win?
Bizarrely, after all this, I think Ireland are going to win. Why do I say that? I think because they're desperate. They're desperate to play and they're wounded. And I think home advantage without the public is huge. Ireland have never lost the first two games in the history of the Six Nations. I don't expect them to start this weekend.
All right. Ronan, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thank you, Jerk. Great to chat. Thank you.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.